ETSU football fans have had this one circled on the calendar. The Sun Devils host the Trojans Saturday night in Tempe for a 7:30 kickoff. Hear pregame, play-by-play, and postgame on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
Yeah, speaking of ASU, really tough sledding coming up on Saturday night. Caleb Williams, Lincoln Riley, and the USC Trojans come a-calling. Speaking of Sun Devil football, Chris Cartman, Sun Devil Source, is going to join us at 1:15 to talk about the state of the program and a coach right now who looks like he's going through it. Kenny Dillingham is having a rough time when you talk about the injuries and the results so far and what lies ahead here on his maiden voyage. It is not great in Tempe. We'll talk to Chris about that. Also, Kevin Ray coming up top of the show at noon. K-Ray, not only the voice of the Suns, but also Moonlights as the voice of the Dallas Cowboys on their national radio broadcast. So we'll talk some Cowboy football with K-Ray coming up in less than an hour. Now, continuing Howard Balzer to talk about the task at hand for Josh Dobbs and the Cardinals on Sunday. The Cowboys are not only 2-0. Now, Dobbs, again, tough go of it in week one. A lot of folks could say that could be expected against the Commanders. Showed us all something, certainly for 2.5 quarters against the Giants last week. The offense kind of buckled under and did not produce what you would like. Try to keep that lead. But then it's going to get real tough on Sunday. And Howard, let me just give you some Cowboy defensive rankings. And I'm well aware it's only two games. But two games is two games. And this is where they stand in defensive rankings. Howard, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Points allowed, first. Points allowed per game, first. Yards allowed per game, first. Passing yards allowed per game, first. Sacks every game, first. Turnovers caused, first. Interceptions total, first. Turnover differential, first. So through two games, this is a dominant football team. And they're doing it in all three phases through two games. So for Josh Dobbs and the Cardinal offense and Drew Petsing, you got to try to move the football and cobble together some drives, because three and out, you're going to put your defense in a really tough situation most of the afternoon. The only chance you have to somehow get a win today or even compete is to cobble together some time consuming drives against a very, very talented, opportunistic and difficult Dallas Cowboys defense.
Opportunistic was the key word there. And of all the stats you mentioned, the turnovers, the takeaways are the big thing. We know that killed the Cardinals in game one with the two fumbles by Dobbs late. At least against the Giants, there weren't turnovers on the offense. So that's the true key. I mean, you just can't. The ball security has to be just to compete. Turning the ball over,
it's over.
Then the game,
you're going to lose by 30.
Yeah, the game gets totally out of hand. So yeah, that's the key with that offense. And it's running. A lot of it is running the football. And I think that was a big factor in how the Cardinals got off to the start they did last week, because it was a good mix of the run in the pass, and they managed to stay away from those third and almost impossible plays to convert, especially with this team. I think the offensive line is coming together, and they've done a pretty solid job of pass protection. And so, you know, maybe they'll need a few more design runs from Josh Dobbs. There were a couple of them in that game against the Giants, and they worked. And so, but those are the keys, like you said, just to keep this game competitive, because we would all agree that the one score games killed this team last year when they were 2-6, and now they're 0-2 in one score games, and those are the games you have to win if you're going to be considered a pretty good football team. Now, most of us didn't expect the Cardinals, let's be honest, to be a good team.
Yep.
But for this game to at least have them in it, and that's what, you know, Tim, what offensive coordinators do is when they put that game plan together and they're realistic about who's on the other side of the ball, they're devising that plan that they hope will keep the game close where you have a shot in the fourth quarter. And you're just not going to try a whole lot of things that are crazy, because that can just blow it all up, and then it's demoralizing for everyone. So it'll be really, really interesting to see how the Cardinals come out and begin this game to see if they can go you know, toe-to-toe with the Cowboys.
Josh Dobbs made a huge leap from week one to week two. He actually told people that was going to happen. Now, will we see a leap from week two to week three? I don't know, because of the caliber of the opponent defensively that he's facing. But Dobbs continues to be a good story here. He had a great press conference yesterday. I want to play a couple clips from that press conference. Remember, Dobbs came into the league in 2017. He did not start a football game until the last 2 weeks of the 2022 season. In fact, he barely even played. He barely threw the football. I think he had 17 pass attempts between 2017 entering the league and those last two starts of the 2022 season. Now he arrives in Arizona 17 days before the first game of the season and they say, Josh, you're the starting quarterback. So he looks back at his NFL career. He was asked yesterday if he ever came close to saying, screw it.
No, I mean, there are dark moments, right? I would be lying if I said there weren't, right? There's moments, you know, I got injured in preseason, my fifth year, and not knowing what the roster was, how it was going to shake out in Pittsburgh that year. Most of my first time getting injured in my life, you know, and so like just going through that process of uncertainty, you know, coming off, you know, we had COVID the year before, no preseason tape, right? Then getting injured in the preseason, not getting a lot of tape. And just having really to just say like, hey, like, you know, I've been in Pittsburgh for 5 years. I think it's time to go out on a limb, go somewhere else and see what opportunities are out there. And I really think, you know, that decision has gotten me the opportunities from last year in Cleveland to down in Tennessee to even now here, you know, just trusting in myself, trusting in my process and then trusting in who I am that, you know, no matter what the odds are or the circumstances may be or the short end of the stick you may perceive to be had, you know, if you have that ultimate confidence in yourself and you prepare as if it's your last opportunity to do what you love, then you'll be prepared every time you step on the field.
Really like the disposition and the mindset of Josh Dobbs. Clearly that is a smart young man, and I think given the situation he's been thrust into, the Cardinals quarterback deal with Colt McCoy being let go, I mean, I understand what Monty Austin-Ford saw in Josh Dobbs from a mental capability standpoint to be able to handle the starting job despite being only here for a couple of weeks, maybe a half dozen practices before taking that job. Doesn't mean, though, he's going to be able to produce and churn out wins, though, Howard. We'll get your thoughts on that coming up a little bit later in the show. All right, Queens of the Stone Age just announced the End is Nero tour coming to Arizona Financial Theater on December 5th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., and you can win a pair of tickets right now by visiting the contest page on arizonasports.com. All right, we are taking a break. When we come back to the baseball, his name keeps percolating when it comes to the Red Sox GM job. D-backs current GM Mike Hazen, would he be interested? And what would the D-backs think about it? You might be surprised at that answer. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about it. Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
The Cardinals host the Cowboys for a Week 3 matchup in Glendale. Pre-game hits early Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. with Dave Pasch, Ron Wolfley, and the kickoff Sunday afternoon at 1:25 on 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
All right, D-backs baseball on everybody's mind these days, and why not? D-backs have won 5 in a row. They sweep the Cubs, sweep the Giants. They have secured as much as possible a solid spot right now for that second wild card spot. But as Derek Hall said this morning on the Bickley and Murata show, just as quickly as they secured it, they could let it all slip away if you don't continue to notch wins. And they go on the road now to Yankee Stadium for 3, then Chicago for 3 against the White Sox. And they come back for 3 games against the Houston Astros. And the Astros right now are battling not one but two teams for the division title. So you'd have to think the Astros might be in a position where they need those games next weekend here at Chase Field. So it will not be easy for the D-backs, but you got to try to make hay on the road in New York and Chicago against the White Sox and the Yankees over these next 6 games to be sure. So they have the lead right now over the Cubs. Cubs are reeling. They've lost 9 of their last 12. Cubs play the Pirates later today. Tim Ring, Howard Balls are in for Wolf and Luke, by the way. Okay, so it did not take long after the Red Sox fired Shane Bloom for Mike Hazen's name to rise up as a potential successor for Bloom in Boston. Hazen with not only Red Sox roots, but he's from Massachusetts. Mike Hazen clearly has done a good job with the D-backs, rebuilding the farm system and having that team in playoff contention, maybe a year ahead of schedule here in 2023. It's going to get interesting, Howard. Hazen is under contract for two more years. And Mike Hazen was on this show yesterday, certainly knew the questions were coming, handled it as you would think he would handle it. In case you missed it, Jesse, let's play a couple clips just so everybody can, we can kind of set the table and everybody can hear exactly what Mike Hazen said in response to the query that he knew was coming. Here's Hazen on the Red Sox opening and whether or not it's on his radar.
You have to do your job and ask, and I'll do my job and not answer. Look, we're focused on getting in the playoffs, and you know I was going to say that, and that's what I'm going to say. Like I'm very happy here. Look, we have a job to do to build this thing. We started where we started, and we've built up from underneath, and we have a lot of really good young players that are just starting to scratch the surface of their talent. I think our team is starting to scratch the surface of its talent. It's really, really fun to watch. And look, when you do these jobs, like building it is the joy, right? Obviously, we all want to see it win. Don't get me wrong. Building it to a winner is what is the ultimate. But the building part of it is what motivates people on a daily basis to work in this game. To deal with the 3 hours of anxiety you get every night is watching guys like Corbin Carroll, Alec Thomas, Moreno, Brandon Pfaadt, all those guys come up and perform for us. That's the really fun part.
Okay, that's a filibuster I've ever heard. So one thing that could have ultimately or eventually happened is that Mike Hazen, to stay in Arizona, could parlay interest from the Red Sox into an extension from the D-backs, which I'm sure if Derek Hall and Ken Kendrick want Mike Hazen around, and that's what it takes to keep him, they give an extension to the 2 years that he already has left on his deal. That could be beneficial to both the D-backs and Mike Hazen, of course. So Hazen was asked if there's been any dialogue about an extension. Not that he would answer that either.
Has there been any dialogue between you and the Diamondbacks on an extension?
I don't talk about those things, Wolf, one way or another. I tell the beat guys the same thing. Like, it's that my personal situation is not something. It's same with players and extensions. Like, I wouldn't answer that question one way or another.
Okay, now, a couple things. I mentioned Hazen worked for the Red Sox. 2015, he was actually the GM for a brief while. He's from Massachusetts. Mike obviously has roots here now in Arizona, tragically lost his wife, Nicole, just over a year ago, but has four young sons, Mike Hazen does, okay, Charlie, John, Teddy, and Sam. I don't know their ages, but I do know that, you know, obviously when you have young children, they are in school, and when kids are in school, tough to move them, pick them up and move them. At the other side of the coin, Howard, it's the Boston Red Sox. We're talking about one of the marquee franchises in all of baseball, and a franchise that Mike Hazen probably grew up a fan of. And I'm sure at one point, maybe still to this day, could be categorized as a dream job for Mike Hazen. So everybody's saying the right things. So, Howard, one more from Derek Hall this morning before I'll let you roll here, because the D-backs would need to give the Red Sox permission. If Mike Hazen asked for the D-backs to do this, would they probably do it? I would assume so, but who knows, right? Now we're speculating. But Derek Hall was pretty adamant this morning on Bickley and Marotta that this ain't happening.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about losing Mike Hazen, and or are you guys already taking steps to make that not happen?
Yeah, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very worried about him leaving, I'm a 0. Mike and I have had several conversations. We talk multiple times every day, all year. He's very happy where he's at. He's very proud of the job he's done. He's proud of the team he's built, and he's proud of the team that he's building on the field. We were talking that the irony, Vic, is probably 3 months ago. We chuckled the other day. This event in Boston certainly didn't trigger us to sit down and say, okay, what do we talk about your future being? 3 months ago, I went to him and said, hey, you've got one guaranteed year left. Why don't we start talking about extensions? So we start those talks very early on. We're very candid, very honest with one another. We're very close, and I'm confident he's going to be right here, and he's very happy to be here.
Okay. So a couple things. When Derek Hall speaks with that kind of confidence, 0, to me, reading the tea leaves, Derek Hall knows something. Derek Hall has talked to Mike Hazen and knows that Mike Hazen's not interested, or Derek Hall knows that they're not going to give him permission to be interested. But whatever the case may be, for Derek Hall to say that, Derek Hall knows what's going on behind the scenes. That's the way I read that. I will say this, Mike Hazen had the opportunity here yesterday to say, I am not a candidate for that job. I am not going to be the next GM of the Boston Red Sox. He didn't do that. Okay, so that door is kind of cracked open. But man, when Derek Hall says zero on a scale of 1 to 10, Derek Hall knows something. That's how I read that, Howard Balzer.
And that we're all trying to read tea leaves here, and obviously there's a lot of leaves in this thing. And as Mike Hazen said, I'm very happy here. Derek Hall said that in that clip this morning, that he's very happy here. Talked about building it is the joy of this job. So I think there's probably in his mind a feeling that, hey, we're in the right path here. I want to continue this to wherever it might take us. And so, but yeah, it's hard to imagine it's not an allure to have in your mind, oh man, going back to Boston and from the East Coast, being from there and all those things. That would have to be somewhat attractive. On the other hand, boy, that's a pressure cooker up there. And it's not to say that all jobs aren't.
Yeah, but if you want to be the best of the best, like the pressure cooker thing, like you don't shy away from
it. I'm not saying you shy away from it to a degree, but you also know that does come with the territory especially when your number one competitor is the Yankees and all those things. So I'm not saying necessarily shy away from it,
right.
But if you're in a good situation and you are seeing this blossom before your eyes, I don't know. My sense is like you said, what Derek Hall basically said is we don't know if Hazen just said to him, absolutely, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I want to stay here. And it was Derek Hall that said he approached him several months ago about an extension. Granted, that was before the Red Sox job came open, but still, in terms of not giving him permission, I would think if Mike Hazen just all of a sudden had an epiphany one day and said, you know what, it's my home, it's this, it's that, that's my dream, then he would probably give him permission. You don't want to hold someone back from that. But it seems to me that he's been, told pretty strongly that, hey, don't worry about it. I'm staying here to keep, to keep building this thing and get it, like I said, get it to as great as it can be.
Well, we'll see. Ken Rosenthal covers this league as well as anybody, and his prediction right now is that Mike Hazen will, in fact, be the next GM of the Boston Red Sox. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620-620 right now if you have any thoughts on Mike Hazen to the Red Sox, or would he stay right here in Arizona and continuing to build what he started building here in Arizona with the D-backs organization. All right, we're taking a timeout. Tim Ring, Howard Balzer in for Wolf and Luke. When we come back, got to talk about some NFL news and notes. What's going on with Chandler Jones in Las Vegas? And the Chicago Bears are flat out falling apart in the Windy City. We'll talk about that coming up after the timeout. Keep it here. All right, 11:30, Wolf and Luke. Tim Ring in for Luke, and Howard Balzer's in for Wolf. Filling Wolf's chair quite admirably today, Howard Balzer. You don't sound like Wolf, though.
I can, I could.
No, I don't know.
No, I don't want to try. Yeah, no, maybe I don't want to try.
You got to work on your Wolf imitation, my brother.
Get out the blood.
The NFL notes today are wacky. We usually go through the league and kind of pinpoint some headlines. They're usually of the football variety. What's going on with the Bears in Chicago, Howard? Put a tent on this circus. You talk about a dysfunctional organization. Now, look, the McCaskey family, George Halas' daughter, Virginia, is still alive.
She turned 100 in January, I think.
She's 100 years old.
But she doesn't run things. She's not really involved.
No, her children have, and they've run it into the ground ever since the days of Mike McCaskey, who's also who passed on. Mike McCaskey was her son, was kind of the Bears president during the heyday of the 80s. But it's always been a circus with that family. And everything flows down from them. And the latest indoctrination of the Bears is just, it's off the rails after two games. They got to go to Kansas City on Sunday. They're going to be 0-3. If they get waxed in that game to the tune of 48-0, something like that, they're probably going to fire Matt Eberflus, their head coach, on Monday. It's gotten that bad. I mean, this is just yesterday at Halas Hall. This is just all yesterday. Justin Fields, the quarterback, is doing his weekly press conference. He was asked about why he's playing poorly, and I'm paraphrasing the question, but he says, coaching. He blames the coaches, and he's not going to be overcoached anymore, and he's going to play his way from now on. Well, of course, that turns into quite the story, as one would think. Justin Fields says he's getting poor coaching, right?
Which he didn't really say.
He said the coaching is the reason that...
No, he didn't say the coaching. He said that he was asked... He said first,
you know, he was asked why he said he was playing the way, and he said coaching.
Well, that's the way it was portrayed by some. If you read the whole quote, he put context in it, which wasn't especially in a tweet, because he said he feels he's playing robotic.
Right.
And then somebody asked, why is that? And he says, well, no. And he said, coaching, it could be. I mean, they're telling me to play a certain way, but I can't go out there thinking about what they're saying to me. So that comes out different than just saying, well, I'm playing the way I am because of coaching.
Well, no. But
and he didn't say it was poor coaching. He just said in terms of...
I didn't say he said poor coaching. I just said... It became a story.
It definitely became a story.
Whether you want to defend him or not.
I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
He pointed towards
Tim,
coaching as a problem.
Well, he mentioned, but then he explained what he meant. And the first tweet about it, which went nuts, said, ask why he's robotic. Justin Fields said, coaching. That was the whole tweet. It didn't bring in what he said after that to explain what he meant by that. Now, maybe should he have said it? Maybe he shouldn't have said it.
Well,
but the point is, it was run with and sensationalized in terms of the entire context of what he said. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he said then he had to come back and do another press conference and said he shouldn't have said it the way he said it. And then, of course, blame the media for trying to get clicks and whatnot.
Well, he was right on that a little bit. It was. The tweet did not give the context of what he said. And we know that happens all the time in things that get tweeted out.
So anyway, Matt Eberflus then, this went on and on and on. So Alan Williams, the defensive coordinator, has been missing for personal reasons. So Eberflus doesn't comment on where Alan Williams is at. Nobody knows where he's at. Ultimately, reports start flying out that may ultimately prove to be inaccurate, that there was an FBI raid at his home and an FBI raid at Halas Hall. The Bears deny the raid at Halas Hall. And a few moments later, Williams sends a resignation. And it's not on Bears letterhead. It's not official. The team doesn't do it. Williams just flat out resigns. And the accusations or rumors about what may have happened were wild. They're too wild for me to even repeat right now because it wouldn't be fair to those involved in the situation. But they were crazy and they were not good for Alan Williams. But Williams up and resigns his post as defensive coordinator. So all this is happening, you know, in this matter of a couple of hours. Then their backup quarterback, Nathan Peterman, he just gets cut, which was a bizarre personnel move.
Yeah, because they re-signed him today.
And then to make it even more bizarre, they re-signed him today. Now, so what happened there? I mean, it's just right now, this is an 0-2 football team that is going through it like you can't believe. I mean, boy, the Cardinals took some heat for being dysfunctional. The Bears are in a far worse place right now. And if you're talking about who's going to end up with the number one pick and the worst record, I'm not sure the Chicago Bears are not going to end up with the worst record in
the
NFL, because this right now is heading way off the rails. In fact, it already is.
And one of the first things I thought when I was hearing all this, and then you brought up Michael McCaskey, is I couldn't help but remembering 1999. Tim, when the Bears were ready to hire Dave McGinnis, who was here in Arizona as the Cardinals defensive coordinator at the time, and they were ready to hire him as head coach. He basically agreed to take the job. He was in Chicago to finalize the contract. And then Michael McCaskey goes on the radio in the early morning and says, we've got our coach. Dave McGinnis is going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. And McGinnis and he hears about it and he says, I don't have a contract. I mean, why is he putting that out there? And McGinnis then decided he removed himself from consideration. I'm not taking that job when the guy running the team does that. I mean, that was just, you talk about off the rails.
It was awful.
And here's the crazy thing. You want a little side story about that? the guy that Dave McGinnis was going to bring to Chicago as offensive coordinator was Mike Martz, who at the time was a quarterback's coach with Washington. He wasn't with the Rams at the time. He was a quarterback's coach in Washington. When that whole deal fell apart, that allowed Mike Martz to be available for the Rams to become their offensive coordinator.
So maybe,
would the greatest show on turf ever have happened?
Maybe Kurt Warner doesn't have a Super Bowl. And
who knows?
If Mike McCaskey didn't screw up the day McGinnis hired.
Who knows? Bizarre.
Well, it's... And again, the Bears have to go to Kansas City on Sunday. So it's not going to get any better. And on top of that, the football team is completely discombobulated. I mean, they got waxed by the Packers in week one at Soldier Field, and it's been going downhill, obviously, on the field since in their next game, and obviously off the field. What happened yesterday was just a train wreck beyond words. All right,
they've been outscored 65-37 in the first two games. I believe they've lost 12 games in a row, but if it's not 12 in a row, the last 12 losses, they've allowed 25 or more points in every game.
Oh, and guess what? Their left tackle, Braxton Jones, is now on IR.
Yes. So,
okay, there we go. Arizona Sports, Redbird Farms, Chicken, and Coca-Cola are teaming up to bring you an exclusive limited edition State 48 Dawn of a New Era t-shirt. Be among the first 50 fans to join us today at the Albertsons at Desert Ridge Marketplace between 4 and 6 p.m. and claim your free shirt with proof of purchase of any Redbird Farms or Coca-Cola products. Just head to the contest page on arizonasports.com for complete details. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, Wolf and Down, your lunch, headed up by Jesse Jim Morrison behind the glass. Tim Ring and Howard Balls are in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. And
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Yeah, could I have a number 3 with cheese and a large coffee?
Wolfen Down Your Lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
Man, does it smell good.
Presented by Stadium Swim at Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's ultimate sports fan destination.
All right, welcome back to the Wolf and Luke Show. I am Jesse Morrison here with Howard Balzer, Tim Ring filling in for Wolf, Luke, and Maloney today for some Wolf and Down Your Lunch. I'll get right into things. The D-backs completed a sweep of the Giants yesterday and have now won 5 games in a row. They are 1.5 games ahead of the Cubs for the second wildcard spot and 4 games back of the Phillies for the top wildcard spot. The Marlins sit a half game back of the Cubs, and the Reds sit a game back of the Cubs as well. The D-backs have 3 games this weekend at the Yankees, 3 games next week at the White Sox, and 3 games with the Astros to finish the season. Where do you see the D-backs finishing the regular season? Do they catch the Phillies? Do they stay where they are in the wild card? Do they fall to the third spot in the wild card, or do they miss the playoffs entirely?
They're not going to miss the playoffs entirely. I do not believe the D-backs are going to fall apart. They've come too far. They've gotten back up off the mat far too many times to go away quietly into the night here in these final 9 games. Are they going to keep rolling off victories? I mean, are they going to finish 7-2 in these last 9? You know, which would put them at, what, 12-2 in their last 14 after losing 3 or 4 to the Mets? I don't know. I don't think so. I do contend that, you know, winning 3 games in Yankee Stadium is going to be difficult. If they can just win that series, that'd be great. Go to Chicago, do what you can do there. I would say right now, Howard, if I had to predict, I would say they're going to stay right where they are and finish right behind the Phillies and ahead of, you know, maybe the Cubs if the Cubs can somehow get it together here down the stretch.
That's pretty much my thought. The Cubs have 10 remaining games. They play Pittsburgh again today. Then they have the Rockies for 3, at the Braves for 3, which is interesting because the Braves are one of the best teams in baseball, but they don't have a whole lot to play for. And then they finish at the Brewers, and the Brewers will probably have the division clinched by then. Jesse, how many games did you say the D-backs were behind the Phillies?
2.5, right?
They are 4 games.
No, 2.5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 2.5 behind the Phillies. 4 games, I'd say there's no chance. I believe that should be their goal, as we talked about earlier, because that could be huge if they would be the first wild card. But I would. It's definitely going to be second or third. And, of course, in that respect, Man, I don't know. Who would you rather play in the first round? If you're, if it's the, it could be the Phillies, or it could be what? If you're 30, it could be the Brewers. Right?
Right.
So either way is not who knows how that would play out. But just, yeah, I think they're going to finish second or third, but I'll say they're going to stay in the number two spot.
Here, I will say this, Jesse, before we move on. Make hay against the Yankees and the White Sox. Don't put a lot on that right. last series against the Astros. The Astros are really, really good, and they could be fighting for their division championship. So you got six games against two beatable organizations at this point in the season. Go take four or five out of six against the Yankees and the White Sox. Go out there and do it. Go out there and do it and put yourself in a good position so you don't need to beat the Astros. You don't need to sweep them in that final series of the season. It is. We talked to Torrey Lovello last week. He is lining it up, or trying to line up, where Gallen and Kelly pitch next Friday and next Saturday against the Astros. And then the season finale, they'd probably have to go with Vaught. So we'll see how that lines up.
And so much depends, obviously, on what the other teams do. It's notable among all these teams that are fighting for these spots, and some would say, well, San Francisco's done, but if you throw them in, none of the teams play each other in any of the series between now and the end of the year. So there's a lot of teams out there trying to play spoiler.
And sticking in a similar realm of question, our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com. And it asks, which side of the National League playoff bracket would you rather be on if you are the D-backs? Braves or Dodgers?
Braves. Braves. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, neither. It's going to be difficult either way.
Yes.
But I think it's pretty much established the Dodgers have the D-backs number. I mean, the D-backs played well against the Dodgers earlier in the year. But, man, late in the season. The D-backs went to Atlanta in mid to late July, and they won 2 out of 3. They had that classic game on a Tuesday where they won 16-13. Remember that one?
It's like their only good series of July.
But I'm telling you, from a psychological standpoint, totally. I'm telling you, this team is going to feel like they can beat the Braves a lot more than they feel like they can beat the Dodgers.
And that's
that
realistic.
Goes a long way.
And that's realistic. I mean, the Braves are obviously a very good team, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. And that's the reality of it.
All right. Well, the audience feels the same way. 60% of the audience says the Braves to 40% Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd want to tangle with the Dodgers until you have to.
Yeah. All right. And in Arizona Cardinals news, Kyler Murray posted a video on his TikTok page of him working out with the caption, "Soon." In ASU news, USC and star quarterback Caleb Williams will come to Tempe this weekend to play the Sun Devils. This brings me to a producer question. Who is more likely to be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals opening day 2024?
Oh, you're going to
Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams?
You're going down this road?
And by the way, Kyler posted some more photos today of himself working out and the rehab and resistance training and all those things. But I don't know if you want to go first, Tim.
I'm going to go first. Now, I'm going to say Kyler Murray because I want to specifically answer your question. Who's more likely to be the starting quarterback? This has nothing to do with what Monty Austin Ford feels about Kyler Murray or Caleb Williams. Looking around the NFL right now and the way the Cardinals have kind of played without Kyler Murray, I'm kind of thinking the Cardinals might not have the number one pick. Now, I know the Texans might, but I think that the chances the Cardinals might not have the opportunity to draft Caleb Williams. That's why I lean towards Kyler Murray being the guy. Now, the question for me changes if the Cardinals did have the opportunity to take him. What will they do? That's a discussion for a later day, Howard. But who's more likely at this point as we sit here in late September? I'm going to say Kyler Murray.
I agree. And I think a part of it, too, is that wherever the Texans end up picking, wherever the Cardinals picking, there's more. This is a loaded, at least it appears to be. It's a long way between now and the end of April. But this looks like it's going to be a loaded quarterback class. Caleb Williams is not going to be the only quarterback that teams will want to add to their roster. And so wherever the Cardinals pick, even if it's four or five, they could be in position. And having Houston's pick, they could be in position to get so many draft picks and continue to build for the future around Kyler Murray that... That's why I think he's going to be here. And all this stuff that we've talked about for the last 6 months is going to be just a whole bunch of hot air.
Here's the other thing. You can talk about Shedeur Sanders and Drake May, and they could be outstanding NFL quarterbacks. If I'm Monty Osmondfort, the only quarterback I'm considering moving on for, I'm moving Kyler Murray on for, would be Caleb Williams. I mean,
No, I agree with that.
Drake May has four touchdowns and four interceptions this season.
But other teams will want one of the other guys if they're not going to get Caleb Williams. That's all I'm saying. And Caleb Williams, he might end up being the best of this group. But there's never a guarantee. And so even if they were in position to get Caleb Williams, I think they can do better for the franchise by getting all the draft picks that they could acquire by trading for that choice. And if they can trade both choices that they have in the first round, because teams want quarterbacks, all the better.
Well, it's just, it's going to depend on how they evaluate Caleb Williams and how they evaluate Kyler Murray. But if they think Caleb Williams is going to be a generational quarterback and they're not sold on Kyler Murray, that's a whole different conversation that we're going to have to spend a lot of time talking about, I have a feeling, coming up over the next 7 months.
And a lot will depend, obviously, on what happens when he returns to play.
There you go. Wolfing down your lunch. Jesse Morrison, good work behind the glass there. When we come back, we're going to talk some Cardinal football, but the Dallas Cowboy perspective. Kevin Ray, voice of the Suns, also the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk to K-Ray about what's made the Cowboys so damn good over these first 2 weeks of the season. Tim and Howard in for Wolf and Luke, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Keep it here.